Monday night starts Passover, so we're going to talk about Passover a little bit. There is a Jewish ceremony called Be'or Chametz, or the getting rid of the leavening, okay? Because the Lord commands us to get rid of leavening, okay? So if we were to read like Exodus chapter 12, it talks about get the leavening out of your house. And it's a very, in Orthodox Jewish homes, it's a very precise, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Very thorough thing that they do. They clean out their homes. Some of them take days or even weeks making sure that the home is spotless. You talk about spring cleaning. In Orthodox Jewish homes, you've got spring cleaning on steroids. It's the women in particular, some of them get, if they didn't grow up with it, they sometimes get overwhelmed by it. Everything's cleared out. No leavening in the home. Why? Because God says clear out the leavening of the home. If you don't do this, you're going to be cut off from your people. And the question is why did God say to us, clear out the leavening? Let's open up to Exodus chapter 12, starting at verse 14. God is telling them about the Passover that's going to happen, their freedom that's going to happen, and then that yearly memorial of it. This day, Passover, is to be a memorial for you. You are to keep it as a feast to Adonai throughout your generations. You are to keep it as an eternal ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat matzot, unleavened bread. But on the first day you must remove chametz, leavening, any rising agent, yeast, baking soda, etc. But on the first day you must remove chametz from your houses, for whoever eats chametz from the first day until the seventh day, that soul will be cut off from Israel. The first day is to be a holy assembly for you, as well as the seventh day. No manner of work is to be done on those days, except what is to be eaten by every person, that alone may be prepared by you. You are to observe the Feast of Matzot, for on this very same day have I brought your ranks out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you are to observe this day throughout your generations as an eternal ordinance. During the first month, in the evening of the 14th day of the month, you are to eat matzot until the evening of the 21st day of the month. For 7 days no chametz is to be found in your houses. For whoever eats chametz, that soul will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an outsider or one who is born in the land. You are to eat no chametz in all your houses. You are to eat unleavened bread, matzot. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, go select lambs for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb, the Pesach. You are to take a bundle of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and apply it to the crossbeam and two doorposts with the blood from the basin. None of you may go out the door of his house until evening. Adonai will pass through to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the crossbeam and the two doorposts, Adonai will pass over that door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you down. Also, you are to observe this event as an eternal ordinance for you and your children. When you come into the land, talking about Israel, the promised land, which Adonai will give you as he has promised, you are to keep this ceremony. Now, when it happens that your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean? You are to say, it is the sacrifice of Adonai's Passover, because he passed over the houses of Bnei Israel, the children of Israel, in Egypt, when he struck down the Egyptians, but spared our household. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. So why do we not eat chametz? Why do we not eat leavening during the Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread period? Because God wants there to be a memorial. He wants you to remember that you came out of Egypt. Okay, did you catch at the very first verse I read, verse 14? This is to be a memorial for you. And the last verse I read, well, second to last verse I read, when your children ask, what does this mean? You're to do it. Because if you don't do it, your children aren't going to ask, what does this mean? But if you're doing it, you're cleaning out the house from leavening, you're eating the bitter herbs and the matzah, and the children are going to look and they're going to see and they're going to ask and you're going to have an answer for them. We're not in Egypt anymore. We've been set free from Egypt. It's a memorial. It's a reminder. We see the same thing in Exodus chapter 13, starting at verse 3. Moses said to the people, remember, okay? I don't have the Hebrew in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that's the same root word there. Yeah, it is. I remember now. Zikor, but here it's in the imperative, the command form, remember. Earlier we had it's a memorial. Now we have a commandment, remember this day on which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by a strong hand Adonai brought you out from this place. No chametz may be eaten. This day in the month of Aviv, you are going out. When Adonai brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you are to observe this service during this month. For 7 days you are to eat matzah. And the seventh day is to be a feast to Adonai. Matzot is to be eaten throughout the 7 days, and no chametz is to be seen among you, nor within any of your borders. Remember, have a memorial. When your children ask, you can pass it on to the next generation. It's to remember what God did for us. So why chametz? Why does leavening become a symbol for our freedom from Egypt? If we go back to chapter 12, but this time starting at verse 37, this is after God worked that 10th plague. Then Bnei Israel journeyed from Ramses to Sukkot, about 600,000 men on foot, as well as children. Also a mixed multitude, right? Not just Hebrews, but those who wanted to join in as well. Also a mixed multitude went up with them, along with the flocks, herds, and heavy livestock. They had baked matzot, cakes, from the dough that they brought out of Egypt. It had no chametz because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not delay, so they had not made provisions for themselves. It was in such a hurry. It was such a dramatic event. They had to go in such a... They were driven out. Egypt said, enough, get out. Pharaoh said, enough, get out. Israel was ready. They got out. They didn't have time for the bread to rise. And so now, to this day, we eat unleavened bread to remind ourselves the haste with which we left Egypt. We didn't have time for the bread to rise. And so we eat it to this day. And there are different theories about when exactly the Exodus happened. But at the very least, we're talking 3,300 years later, we still eat unleavened bread because it's something that happened that long ago to remind us that we've come out of Egypt. So we clean out our houses of leavening. We get rid of the bread to remember that day, to remember what God did for us, to remember that we came out of Egypt. The problem is this, that God did his part. God took us out of Egypt, but it took a long time. Maybe we've never even fully gotten there to this day. It took a long time for Egypt to get out of us. You know what I'm saying? We're out of Egypt, and what do we do in the wilderness? What do we do in Exodus chapter 32? We build a golden calf. Egypt was in us. They worshiped calves throughout the ancient Middle East. But in Egypt, in particular, Worshipping a bull or a calf was typical, represented strength, virility, represented procreation. This was Egyptian thinking. We're out of Egypt, but Egypt is not out of us. We're still thinking like we're living in a pagan land. It's still in us. What do? We read all throughout the book of Numbers about how much grumbling we did, how little trust we had, how we cried out to God, not saying, God, we trust you, we know you'll do this, we need water, please, but grumbling. We need a new leader, somebody who will take us back to Egypt. We wanted to go back to, that's how attached we were to Egypt, is we wanted a new leader, get rid of Moses, we need somebody else. We can't go up into Canaan. We look like grasshoppers compared to those giants. The spies came back with a bad report. We want to go back to Egypt. It's still in us. We haven't gotten rid of it. God took us through the Red Sea. We sang and we danced, and not too much later at all, we're making a golden calf while Moses is up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. It's not out of us yet. God pulled us out of it. The New Covenant Scriptures, the New Testament, parallels the work of Messiah with the Exodus, right? The Passover lamb is now fulfilled. Everything that the Passover, when you read that word fulfilled in the New Testament Scriptures, the New Covenant Scriptures, people don't always understand it. And so sometimes there's a misunderstanding that leads to doubts about the New Covenant Scriptures itself. Yeshua fulfilled Hosea 11:1, for example, talks about in Matthew chapter 2. Yeshua fulfilled, thus was it fulfilled, what was written, out of Egypt I called my son. And they say, well, what does that mean? It's not a prophecy. Hosea 11:1's not a prophecy. What does it mean he fulfilled it? That's not what the word always means. Sometimes that's what it means, but it means he brings it to fullness. He brings the idea of sonship to fullness. He brings the idea of coming out of Egypt to fullness. And for our sake this morning, he brings the idea of the Passover lamb to fullness. Did you catch what I read earlier? It's well known. You know, the Passover lamb, you take the blood, you put it on the doorposts of your house, and the angel of death can't go into that house to slay the firstborn. Yeshua brings that idea of blood protecting us, saving us from sin and death to its fullness. He is the Passover lamb. Matthew 26 and Mark 14 and Luke 22, they relate that last supper, as it's also often called in the church, to the Passover Seder. And Yeshua takes the bread, says, this is my body broken for you. And he takes the fruit of the vine, this is my blood spilled for you. I'm bringing you into a new covenant. I'm the Passover lamb. He's slain on Passover. He's the Passover lamb. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul specifically calls him our Passover lamb. We're going to look at that later. So, if he's our Passover lamb, what is our freedom? Colossians 1:13. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son whom he loves. And we cannot pass over that verse without understanding the awe of that statement. We were in the domain of darkness. Now we're in the kingdom of God's beloved Son. This is an eternal difference. This is, I was in darkness, and now I'm in light. I was bound for death. Now I have eternal life. I've got to stop seeing so many believers with long faces. I've been going through some tremendous trials lately. I won't lie to you. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Tremendous, worst, most difficult thing in my life, to be honest. But you know what? It's not my life. It's not my, God is my life. The fact that I was in darkness and now I'm in the kingdom of His beloved Son is my life. This is no less transformational, no less awe-inspiring than God splitting the Red Sea and Israel walking through. And what happens on the other side? They see their enemies vanquished. What happens on the other side? They sing and they dance. And they sing, Micha mocha be'elim Adonai, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, awesome in praises, doing wonders? There's got to be singing and dancing. I would love to see in this synagogue dancing. We haven't had the people for it, and I'm not the guy, so I understand. But eventually, may the Lord bring us dancers, right? Because that's what it's no less, in fact, I'd say it's more awe-inspiring what God has done through Yeshua, the Lamb of God, than through that first Passover lamb. There should be singing and dancing. There should be rejoicing. There should be, yes, reality. I don't want anybody to paint a fake smile on their face. Yes, I'm going through difficult things. Yes, there's times where I absolutely weep. But the Lord is with me. It's not my life. It's not my life is Colossians 1:13. He rescued, I'm going to personalize it here. He rescued me from the domain of darkness and brought me into the kingdom of the Son whom He loves. He has done it. He has done His part. The question now is, has the domain of darkness left my heart? I'm out of it. God's done His job through Yeshua, the Passover lamb. But is my life really reflecting the full reality of that? My wife and I recently watched a reenactment of the life of John Newton. You probably know who he is. He's the English pastor that wrote Amazing Grace, lived a horrendous, worldly, godless lifestyle, was a slave for a while, just a terrible life, filled with anger, filled with rage. He gives his life to the Lord. He receives the grace of the Lord. He puts his trust in the Lord. But he still takes on the position of slave ship captain after he's saved. I used to think he was that, and then he got saved and he quit. Didn't happen that fast. His mindset didn't think. Yes, his captives with greater care than the others. He tried to make sure they had water, didn't die, but he was still doing it. And it wasn't out of him. His mindset didn't change until later. Can you be saved and still be you can be saved and do horrendous things. You can. If you don't let God change your life, you can do horrendous things. And people will suffer greatly for it. And you'll suffer greatly for it. I know this from being on both sides of that equation. Is the Spirit of God working in you to get Egypt out of you? Yes, you're saved. But Paul warns us, don't let that grace give you a license for sin. Don't let that grace give you a license for pleasing the flesh. You've got to stop. You have to let the Holy Spirit of God now into your life to clean out the chametz, to clean out the leavening. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Wrong book, sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Your boasting is no good. Don't you know that a little chametz, a little leavening, leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old chametz so you may be a new batch, just as you are unleavened. God has cleansed you of it, but you haven't gotten it all out of your house. You're saved, but it's not all out of your house. He's given you his grace, but you're still attached to Egypt. You're still doing those things. You're still giving in to the flesh. Get rid of that. For Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast not with old chametz, the chametz of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread, the matzah of sincerity and truth. How do you get there? I want to be sincere. I want to be truthful, but I'm pulled away by my desires, by my flesh, by a false sense of religion, by being a hypocrite. I care what others think of me more than I care about pleasing the Lord. Sometimes we're so blind to it, we don't even know. Sometimes when I've been at my worst is when I thought I was the most righteous. You know what I'm saying? And so I judged others because I was the righteous one and they weren't. I was the spiritual one and they weren't. I knew the scriptures better than they did. I became judgmental. I became driven by the flesh. But now God is saying it's time. It's time. It's time to get Egypt out of you. I've brought you out of Egypt. You've gone through that Red Sea. You've seen the face of God. You've tasted of his Holy Spirit. He's imparted to you the blood of the covenant of the Messiah. And now it is time to say, Lord, I surrender it all. Even my little things. My little things. My little pornographic things, and I'm using that term in a general manner, just for sin. That's what it is. That's what sin is it's about me. It's about me, right? Our eating and our drinking, it's about me. Our sexual immorality, it's about me. Our anger, it's about me. How dare you make me angry? Our judgment of others, it's about me. I'm the righteous one and you're not. We want the humility. We gotta get it out of us. And the Lord is saying, it's time. It's time. The Lord is saying he wants to do something great in this congregation for his glory. But first, it's gonna take repentance. It's going to take repentance. It's not going to take, Lord, look at what I did. I witnessed to somebody today and pat yourself on the back. Lord, look what I did. I fed a hungry person. Lord, look what I did. I read my Bible. It's going to take humility and repentance. Lord, I'm a sinner, but you're a Savior. And Lord, you can clean this out of me if I just surrender to your Holy Spirit. You can clean it out of me. It's time. Am I saying we're going to be perfect from this point on? No. Am I downgrading the grace of the Lord to cover all sin? No. But what I am saying is this. If you read Paul and you understand grace, what he's saying is grace leads you to greater righteousness, not to less righteousness. You understand the grace of the Lord. You understand you're not in Egypt anymore. It leads you to greater righteousness than if you didn't have that grace. And so let the grace of the Lord into every area of your life, to forgive every sin, to cut Egypt out of you and out of me, to repent of every sin, to be that sincere and truthful person that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 5, to cut out the malice where there's bitterness and backbiting and selfish ambition. And sometimes it's in the name of what we think is good. I want to be a teacher. I want this position because God's anointed me to do this, and God's anointed me to do that. And God, and again, it's about me. Now it's with a spiritual, religious overtone rather than, I'm a sinner saved by grace, Lord. How can I serve? How can I bless? If my Messiah got down on his knees and washed the disciples' feet, then Lord, I'll be happy just to do that. I'll be happy just to do that. Get rid of me, get rid from me all pride. Lord God, we pray this prayer now. Rid us of all pride. Rid us of all self-seeking. You have done it, God. You brought us out of Egypt over 3,000 years ago. We celebrated to this day. It was so awesome. You brought us through the Red Sea. We sang and we danced on the other side. And then we sacrificed to a golden calf and broke your heart. We don't want to do that anymore, Lord. We don't want to do that. We want to repent of that in Yeshua's name. We don't want to be that person anymore on the other side of the sea from Egypt, but we bring Egypt with us. Forgive us, Lord God. We don't want that anymore. We don't want it because it's destroyed us and it's destroyed our loved ones. Forgive us, Lord. We want your life to be lived out in these bodies. We want your spirit to inhabit these bodies. We want you to inhabit our praise. We want you, Lord God, to glorify yourself, not us, but glorify yourself through us as we surrender all to you. And in Yeshua's name, we all say, amen. 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 Praise God. Is Ed back there in the...